listener. It's Zach Harper, Amin Alhassan, and Anthony Mays of Cinephobe. You may be asking yourself, what is Cinephobe? Amin, would you like to fill in the people?
Cinephobe is the podcast where Zach and I watch movies that are poorly rated on Rotten Tomatoes and try to ascertain.
Ascertain?
Yes.
Okay. Ascertain.
Whether or not they're accurately poorly rated, or maybe they didn't get a fair shake. Cinephobe, produced by this guy, Anthony Mays.
Hey, that's me. I produced this show. I also watch the movies, even though that wasn't included in the description, and I also ascertain. This month is...
Whoa!
Oh, Maze, why'd you say that? Supercharge it. So that this promo can remain evergreen.
I feel like explaining a little bit more.
In 60 seconds?
I don't know. Maybe I don't bring attention to it. Assuring people like, look, if you listen, you're going to get it. Just give it time.
That's a good promo. Just listen to it.
Give it time.
You'll figure it out.
Is this the promo right now?
Isn't it?
Okay, I think we got it.
Cinephobe.
Wherever you get podcasts.
Coming to you live from the Ray Horseman Studio in North Hollywood, California, it's Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, your comedy field guide to life. Tonight, safes, those big metal boxes that hold jewelry and money. How do you crack one? Especially when it's your own and you can't remember the combination. Paul Gordon of SoCal Safe is here to help us unlock the mystery of safes. Plus, Valentine's Day is coming up. Ernest Hemingway wrote, "If my Valentine you won't be, I'll hang myself on your Christmas tree." That sums up this show's conflicted feelings about courtship. Paul and I will do rhetorical battle about the value of romance. Who will be left holding a rose and who a thorn? I'm Adam Felber, the man who keeps this show's conversational dial spinning towards the right combination to unlock a topic. And now, please welcome the woman who takes an acetylene torch to any conversational safe, Paula Poundstone!
Thank you so much.
Welcome, Paula, and thank you to tonight's house band, returning champion guitarist Ryan Gabrinetti.
Fantastic, Ryan. Thank you.
Hey, Paula, we're closing in on Valentine's Day, and we're both happy about that, aren't we, for different reasons?
I don't like Valentine's Day.
What?
I'm happy for the rest of you, but, I'll get my chocolate myself. Thank you. That's how I feel about
Valentine's Day. Oh, is that
Valentine's
how you feel?
Okay. Day.
So
I do.
To you, all Valentine's Day is other people giving other people chocolate.
Yeah. It's just, I don't know. The whole thing feels forced. That's all.
It is a little forced.
Yeah.
It can be really awkward. Until you get good at it, it's a really awkward
thing. Until you get good at it?
Yeah.
Are you good at it, would you say?
I'd say I'm getting good at it, yeah.
Yeah. What do you do?
It depends on the year.
Uh-huh.
We don't go out to dinner is what we do.
Yeah.
We don't go out to dinner, and I'll tell you why.
You fast.
No. And I now understand my mom. When I was a kid, my mom would say, "Don't you dare take me out to dinner for Mother's Day." And I'd be like, "Why?" And she's like, "Because then I have to go out to dinner and see all these other moms who get trotted out once a year, get a flower pinned on their lapel, and, you know, they're out at the restaurant. I don't want to be that mom."
Uh-huh. She was bitterly jealous of these other moms?
No, she didn't want to be one of those moms.
Oh, she didn't want to be like
that. She felt that, you know, that looked forced to her.
Uh-huh.
And yeah. I feel the same way when I go out to dinner on Valentine's Day, so I don't do it anymore.
You just don't want other couples to see you.
I don't want to be one of the couples, you know, being herded through the corral of love.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh my gosh, that's a great name for a song. Dolly Parton! Dolly Parton!
Where's Dolly Parton?
So what are your plans? You don't know. I'll probably
make Jeannie a really nice dinner. Uh-huh. If we can get babysitting for the kids, that would be great. It would be nice to just spend the night, you know, just hanging with Jeannie. But uh-huh.
And then
what?
You know.
Oh, you're asking if we're going to have sex?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Probably, yeah. Not that it's your business, but
no,
yeah.
It isn't. Adam, answer the phone.
What?
Just answer the phone.
I know exactly where this is going, Paula, and I don't want to answer the phone.
Adam Felber, life is not all cummerbunds and cotillions. You answer the phone right now.
All right. That's our hand puppet, Mrs. Culpepper. All right. Hello? I knew it. Hello? Hey, you've reached Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, and you're the 12th caller in our 100-caller contest. Congratulations. Just 88 to go. Who is this? Hello?
Is she even talking?
No, she's not. Hello? Is this Winnie Feynman by chance? Winnie? Winnie, is that you? Winnie, I'm going to hang up the phone.
Jesus Christ.
Maybe you should just hang up.
Yeah, just hang up. I'm going to hang up.
Wow,
there we go.
That is weird.
Up. Wow, that's not weird. That's
my
upsetting.
God.
That's
speaking of which, you mentioned the 100th call. We are having the 100th caller contest.
Yeah, I only brought that up because it was so awkward to listen to her cry like that.
Well, she's heartbroken. We're having a contest. Our 100th caller wins any appliance from Roger Federer's appliance store.
It's called Federer, and it's not Roger Federer's
and
store.
And a chance to hang out after the game with Adam Felberg.
That is not going to happen.
Wait, no, it's the 100th caller contest. We made
a
promise.
I never agreed to a 100th caller contest.
We've made a promise to our listeners.
That's, I did not make any promises.
No, we've made a promise to our listeners.
This is
certainly
abusive.
So, 100th caller, call in. And of course, the 100th caller wins a chance to hang out with Adam Felber. And
yeah,
any appliance you want
neither
from
neither of
Roger
those things
Federer's.
Are a thing.
No, of course it's a thing. Adam, answer the phone.
Really?
Answer the phone.
No.
Yeah, go ahead. Answer the phone.
See, now this is gonna be terrible. Okay.
No, go ahead.
Hello?
Hey, Adam, it's me, Mike Boom Boom Bonifant.
I'm actually relieved to hear from you, Mike.
Am I the 100th caller, man?
You're not. You're caller number 13, as far as I can tally.
Oh, fuck. I heard you say you were going to have sex with your wife tonight. After that, do you want to hang out? Like,
no!
And go look for some chicks or something?
Mike, that makes no sense at all.
Yeah.
For one, no.
No, just warm up with your wife. You know what I mean? Just warm up with your wife. Then we'll go. I got a good watering hole. We'll go find some chicks. You want to do that?
I absolutely don't want to do that, Mike. For one, it would mean hanging out with you, which I don't ever do. And for two,
we hang out after the game all the time. You and me hang out.
I've never even. I don't even know what you look like, Mike.
I'm a good-looking guy, Adam. I'm a good-looking guy.
I don't care, Mike.
Yeah.
You're a good-looking guy?
Yeah, I'm a good-looking guy.
You know,
Adam,
Mike,
I'm into chicks, man. I'm into chicks.
Mike, would you describe yourself, including what you're wearing right now? I'd love to hear a description.
I'm a good-looking guy.
And I think all the chicks out there would love to hear what you look like.
Yeah. Wow, I'm a
good-looking
guy.
Yeah, well, some details. What are you wearing, Mike?
Adam, man, I'm into chicks, I told you. What do you mean, what am I wearing?
I'm just wondering what you're wearing.
Man, this is a little creepy.
Oh, Mike, you're totally taking this the wrong way, Mike.
I'm going to have to keep some distance from you when we hang out after the game. You know what I mean?
I think
because I'm into chicks, man.
All right.
Yeah, I'm excited about Valentine's Day. Because,
what are you going to do?
Well, you know, spend a little time with my wife. But
you're married?
Yeah. Fuck yeah, I'm married. But that doesn't mean I don't.
To who?
My wife.
What's her name?
We're not that close. I don't know.
You're not married, Mike.
I'm not married. I gotta call you back because I really want this 100th call thing, man.
All right,
yeah.
It's not
so
a thing.
What number am I?
You were 13, Mike.
Oh, boy.
But it doesn't
so
matter.
So close.
That's not
mathematically
true.
All right. I'm psyched, Adam. I'm psyched.
Okay.
All right, talk to you later, man.
Bye.
Talk to you later.
Okay.
Adam, I have a word.
A word?
I have a word.
Well, Paula, I'm relieved to hear it. So
this
has been a really tough thing. So you're not doing anything for Valentine's Day?
I think I'm working. What night of the week is it?
It's a Friday.
Yeah, I'm working.
All right.
Filming you and your wife.
Wow. Can I get Mike back on the line?
Well, Mike is the guy who's sending me with my camera.
Jesus Christ.
No, I'm kidding. I'm working. I forget where, but I imagine by the end of the show, I'll
be probably
ready
announce
to
it,
promote where I'm working. So I have a word, Adam. It's elied.
Elied or elide?
It's elide, actually. It's a verb that means omit a sound or syllable when speaking. The second meaning is join together, merge. Here, I'll use it in a sentence.
Okay.
Mike Boom Boom Bonifant has a tendency to elide when saying his own name.
Yeah, he often goes bump.
Yeah. Well, you know, he's a guy that does that. Yeah. You know,
is elide the root of that word elision?
No, an elision, I think, is when you
leave something out.
No, is when you've got like a big gash in the side of your head.
No,
or
that's
something.
A lesion. The word elision, E-L-I-S-I-O-N. I would imagine elide is the.
You know, when you got a big gash on the side of your head, you don't worry about pronunciation.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm going to leave that lie exactly where it is.
That's true. Listen, we've learned lots of words on this show, Adam.
Yeah.
I'd sound quite learned if I could remember them.
That's true. And you can't.
I've created a vocabulary song to try to tattoo the words on the inside of my brain.
Yeah, you have.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, I keep pointing out that there's a problem with your vocabulary song.
What's that, Adam?
In that you don't do it the same any week, and thus as a memory jogging device, it doesn't It doesn't really help cognitively.
You know, Adam, I got one thing to say to that.
Is it answer the phone?
This week's word is elide. It's a verb that means omit a sound or syllable when speak. Last week's word was osios. It sounds a bit like Oreos, but it's not. It's an adjective that means serving no practical purpose, producing no useful result. Futile kitchen tile, no futile. The week before that, we had gallimafree. It's a noun that means confused, jumble, or medley of things. Hodgepodge, who's podge, hodgepodge. Going back in the stack, we had Optimath. It's
feel
a
free
noun
to
that
play
means
along,
a person
Ryan.
Who begins
it's a,
or continues to study or learn late in life. I hope I can be at Optimath when I get to that point. Adam doesn't think my song is wrecked. Replicable, but I do.
Okay.
Tell me that.
Yeah, that's great.
You know, that is.
I wanna read you something, Paula, from a university's website, from a Cognoscite department. It's about memory songs, okay?
Yes.
Yeah, music allows us to chunk lyrics together by linking words and phrases in a tune. The melody and the rhythm act as a great framework that we can attach the text to, making it easier to recall later.
You know,
in
maybe
this
they
way,
would want me to be a speaker in their class, and
I
could
present.
I think
you, in a very real way, you'd be a great example for
I
this class.
I would be a great example. What, are you yeah. kidding me?
Yeah, because yeah. I think you're
this
a great example.
This week's word is...
Yeah, again.
I forget already.
Yeah, what's
lied.
This? Yeah, and what is it? Don't look at your
lied.
Yeah, keep going. Sing the memory part.
I didn't memorize it. I'm working on it.
It's a memory song. If
right,
you didn't memorize it, it's useless.
Even a memory song you don't memorize instantly.
Well, sing some
of
the
early... I have some really good news.
What's that?
Hold on.
I'm a little scared.
All right. I'll be right back.
Paula is actually getting up and leaving. She says she says some good news, and she's she says that she's taking a bathroom key with her. Paula, you realize we're still taping, right?
No, we can stop now. Don't you worry about me.
We're gonna stop taping, or maybe we just leave it on. Well, Paula has left the studio. I don't really know if we're gonna keep this part. Ryan, feel free to give me some accompaniment here, because this is awkward. You know, I should point out to our listeners that another miracle that happened tonight is that Bonnie Burns is running late. There's been no extraneous noise in the studio whatsoever. And now Paula has left me alone here on the mic, and I just want to talk to everybody on this upcoming Valentine's Day. Hey, out there, nobodies, and you know who I'm talking to. Yes, you. You're looking awful good tonight. And I want you to have yourself the sweetest possible Valentine's Day. I want you to light a fire, sit yourself down in front of it, say, hey, Alexa, play me some Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone. Take out a bottle of champagne, crack it open with somebody you love, and listen to your favorite podcast. Oh, yeah. A lot to love on Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, as long as you don't count the vocabulary song, which, let's be honest, it's not really a song at all, is it? But here's a song from me to you. I feel so unsure. Now, I'm not going to sing to you, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to let you sing to me, because that's how we roll here at Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone. You make the songs, we just play them to eat up the time. I honestly don't know what I'm going to do if Paula never comes back, because then the title of our show will come true, because there'll be nobody listening to Paula Poundstone. Well, let me check in with everybody who's here tonight. Ray Horseman, how you doing over there, man? Ray Horseman's giving me two fingers up. He might be telling me to go fuck myself in England. But we're not in England tonight. Ryan, you're sounding good. How are you? He says he's pretty good. Pod Puppy, what's going on? How's my Tony Anita Hall doing?
All right. And wait, coming in here, ladies and gentlemen, to coming in here and making noise while we're recording something, I'd like to welcome Captain Crinkle, Bonnie Burns.
There's a bag of garbage.
We're actually taping, Bonnie.
I know, but I'm just telling
you. Okay, Bonnie, if you have something to say, maybe you should say it to the microphone. You're kind of breaking a mood here, Bonnie.
Okay.
We're doing a Valentine's Day thing?
You did? Yeah. Okay, there's a bag of garbage right in front of the gate, and you have to pull the gate over the garbage to get it.
Okay, that's kind of breaking my mood a little bit, Bonnie.
It's a first. Here. Oh,
it's not really a Valentine's thing.
No, it's not.
No.
Happy Valentine's
Day. Happy Valentine's Day, Bonnie. All right. I'm starting to lose that repose because having been alone here for a while, now I've got Bonnie Burns. Now I've got Paula Poundstone back, so that's something. All right, so one more time. Happy Valentine's Day to all of you. Welcome back, Paula.
Hey, I might need it again, Tony. Don't make it go too far away.
We're still taping.
Okay. Ooh, here's a bathroom key, by the way.
Wow, the mood is really shattered right now because we really had a thing happening while you were gone, and now you're...
Did ya? We got up. I have such great news.
What's that, Paula?
Are you ready to hear this?
This is exactly what you said right before you left.
I do. I have such great news.
What's that?
Cardi B is working on a vocabulary song.
What?
Yeah. I have a friend who has a friend, and Cardi B is working on a vocabulary song.
I'm not sure I believe that.
It's true. Hello, words. You can't fuck with me. I don't dance now. I make word songs. I don't gotta dance. I don't gotta fuck that dude because I know the word turpitude. Have a lapsus lingui in my pussy because you know I'm not that fussy.
Wow, that was Cardi, huh?
Yeah.
Wow, you know, I was worried that the Valentine's mood was shattered when Bonnie came in, now we're done. Now we're just absolutely done.
Oh, boy. Yeah, boy. How about that for a Valentine?
When did you hear that while you were out in the bathroom? Or?
No, I got word, I don't know, yesterday. I didn't want to tell you guys. I wanted to be a surprise. But
that was it? That was it?
No, that's not it. That's part of, you know, she sent me the beginning.
She rhymed pussy with fussy.
Yeah.
That sounds like more of a Poundstone thing, where it looks the same on the page, so you're going to go
People
ahead
and... get us confused all the time.
Okay. So I guess We could expect more of that in the...
Hello, words. You can't fuck with me. Oh, my God.
Wow.
It's going to be so... Tell me that isn't going to shoot right to the top.
Tell me that isn't going to recur in another episode.
No, it's I'm so excited. I don't know if she's going to come in and do it.
I don't know
but
either.
But apparently, I just want to see Cardi B. If you're listening right now, the beginning is fantastic.
It's really great, Cardi.
Thank you. Yeah.
Okay. Coming up, Ludwig Wittgenstein said, philosophical problems can be compared to locks on safes, which can be opened by dialing a certain word or number so that no force can open a door until just this word has been hit upon. And once it is hit upon, any child can open it. We'll learn all about cracking open safes like a child when we return on Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone.
On this day in unremarkable history, Charles Manson's lawyer said, a swastika on your forehead, huh? Well, it's not the worst idea you've ever had.
We're back. Paula, hey, you have a safe at home.
I do have a safe at home.
Do you have a safe room?
No, I don't have a safe room.
You should think about that.
It's in my walk-in closet. And
thanks for telling our listeners where to find your safe.
Well, they don't know where the walk-in closet is.
It's in your bedroom, right?
It's in my neighbor's house. so every week after we tape here and I go back to my house, one of the first jobs I do is open the safe to take some cash out for next week's show.
Instead of taking it out before you come to this
because I'm afraid I'll forget.
So you get home from taping
yeah.
and take out cash
And what do you do with that cash?
I put it in a backpack. Because criminals never think to look there.
Okay.
But anyways,
I've already got so much that I want to ask.
I'm so tired when I get home from taping this show. Believe it or not, you guys, it's a lot of work. I get home from taping this
believe
show.
Believe it or not, you guys, you have no idea.
And it must take me 30 minutes to get into that safe.
Really?
I'm hoping it takes the criminals just as long. Yeah, I don't know. I turn it left, right. I set it. It's on the numbers. And then I go to pull the handle and it won't open.
And then what do you do differently the last time?
Because
I think you should
idea.
Do that
I
the
just,
first time.
I try
time.
Again and try again and try again. And this ruined junior high for a lot of people.
Oh, all of us had trouble with our lockers in junior high.
Yeah. You'd see boys crying in the hall over their locker.
That's what they were crying about. Absolutely.
Yeah, over their locker. Yeah. Therefore, that's why I wanted to talk to
Well, we have someone here who knows all about safes. His name is Paul Gordon, and he's a strategic alliance manager at Southern California Safe Company. SoCal Safe has been providing the nation with the highest quality safes and security equipment since they first opened in, get this, 1915. Please welcome strategic alliance manager Paul Gordon.
Hey. Good evening, Paul and Adam.
Paul, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Paul, I'm so glad you're here, and I gotta say, you do not look like you were born in 1915.
You know, you're 100% correct. I just feel that with someone.
Yeah.
Safes will wear you down over time. Now, let's talk safes. What's Paul's problem, first of all?
Well, first thing I would tell you to do is upgrade to a digital lock.
Upgrade my digital lock?
No, you have a mechanical lock right now with dial.
I have the kind that you turn.
Right.
Left, right.
Yeah, and that's part of your problem. Unless it's a graded lock, a UL-approved lock, that combination can be off. Your number 30 could be 29 or it could be 31.
Oh,
in order to get it right, she has to get it wrong at this point.
Exactly.
Oh.
So on a less expensive safe, the lock won't have as good a quality mechanism.
Uh-huh.
And what you're experiencing, what most people experience over time, they just get tired of turning the dial.
Yeah.
And they leave their stuff on top of the safe.
Oh. Well, I don't leave my stuff on top of the safe.
Well, maybe you should think about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's better there than the backpack.
No. It's all. Okay. No, I mean, eventually I get it open. Right. But all right.
So how old is your safe?
Only a couple years.
Very personal question.
Okay. Yeah. No, the reason, it's not. It's only a couple years.
The reason
years
I ask is this.
Yeah.
If it's an older safe, it may need to just be maintenanced.
Oh, I didn't even know you were supposed to maintenance them.
Over a period of time, those dials get out of adjustment.
Right.
And a good locksmith can come out and recalibrate it so it's more accurate.
But Paul says it's not an old safe.
Oh, no, well, it's a few years old. I mean, it's not 100 years old.
What is a few? Like,
I can't remember. But
It shouldn't be doing what you're doing.
About how long do they keep their calibration, perhaps?
Usually about 7 to 10 years.
Oh, okay. Well, then it's not that old. Now, if say I hired a safe cracker or even a safe calibrator.
Why would you hire a safe cracker first?
Okay, no. What if I hired a safe calibrator and he came over and he would say to me, well, what's the combination?
Mm-hmm.
And I tell him the combination, and now he works on it. He goes, okay, that should work fine. And then I pay him and he leaves. Do I have to worry now about him coming back and breaking into my safe?
A locksmith is generally who you'd want to call.
Uh-huh.
Who would be certified. They're generally bonded. They're licensed by the state of California with a very thorough background check.
Oh, wow.
And all that information is very private. And I doubt that in 6 weeks he would remember your combination.
Oh, because he's going to have had so many others
since then? We were working hundreds of safes every month. And I can tell you, our senior technician, he can't tell you the last combination he did.
Huh. Well, yeah. That's why I tape my combination to the top of the safe.
See, not a good idea. Not a good idea. No,
I'm kidding.
Can you crack a safe?
I can open any safe given enough time.
Given enough time.
So our company is really three companies in one. We build safes.
Uh-huh.
We manufacture banking equipment. So we build vaults and we do cash automation. So with enough time, I can open a small home safe or I can open a bank vault.
Wow.
You could open a bank vault.
We could open a bank vault.
Have you ever worked for Gringotts? Do you know what it's the bank in Harry Potter?
Yeah.
You knew that, yeah. Now, do you when you crack a safe, do you use a stethoscope?
So that's an old kind of wives' tale. So I brought an example. I know your viewers at home can't see this.
Oh, they're going to love
this. Oh, yeah, but that's
look
all right.
That.
We'll take a picture of
but
it.
That's
we'll post
what,
it.
That's what it looks like on the inside. So
uh-huh.
This is what's called a Group 2 lock.
Uh-huh.
So that's a medium quality lock.
Uh-huh.
uh-huh. there are three wheels in that lock.
There's three wheels in the
if
lock.
It's three wheels, and it's a three-number combination.
It's in a little square metal box.
Yeah, so it's about the size of a pack of cigarettes.
Uh-huh. Just yeah, about it's about thick. The size of a pack of cigarettes, just like he said.
And then on the other side, this is where the shaft would come through,
uh-huh.
and then the dial would be on the outside.
I see. Okay, so there's a hole, and the shaft goes through, and the dial will be on the outside, just like he said.
Exactly. Yeah. So
you're not really helping our listeners visualize
I'm
it.
I'm translating.
If you just say what he says.
Yeah, I'm translating for people who don't speak safe way me and Paul do.
It all boils down to this little mechanism. Uh-huh. This is what will either lock your safe or not lock your safe.
Uh-huh.
This little bar has to either come in or go out. Very simple. So when you put the right combination of numbers in.
It makes the bar go out?
Or in.
Or in. Uh-huh.
And your safe will be open or closed.
Wow. Uh-huh.
So on this type of lock, which is called a group two lock,
uh-huh.
you notice there's one needle, if you will.
Uh-huh.
And that's what clicks. And so you can listen to it with a thesiscope.
Oh, so as you turn the dial, the little piece resting on that I assume that's what you're calling the needle,
right.
Makes like a click, click as it goes.
Exactly. And that's what you're hearing.
Uh-huh.
So on a group two lock like this one,
yeah.
it only has one of those bars or needles at the top.
Mm-hmm.
A group 2M, which is what we use on all of our safes, is a high security. There's two of these.
Oh, so it goes click, click.
So you don't know. You don't know. Well, you don't know which click you're listening to.
Oh.
So that's what a group 2M does for
uh-huh.
you. So
uh-huh.
like on your safe, because you're getting a lot of manipulation in there,
yeah.
I could probably open your safe by just using simple things like a thesiscope, something like that.
Uh-huh.
Like,
okay.
That's why I'm not telling you my address.
Okay. So with the two, clicks, then you'd have to try it two times, two times, two times, right? In
and
order to get it
99
right.
99 numbers on that, so
that's a lot of time.
When you said you could open and you know any safe if you had enough time,
yeah.
are you just trying different combinations of numbers?
Well, essentially,
you need like enough time and meals.
So, it depends on the kind of lock. So yes, it is a lengthy process. I can't tell you the specifics of it, but we can go inside the safe. Examine something inside the safe, and then try those various combinations that we see.
Uh-huh. I see.
Oh, okay. I see. Uh-huh.
So what we're looking at is to try to get close to that.
Uh-huh.
Excellent.
Did you see the Mentalist episode?
Yeah.
Do you know that show?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, where Patrick, the criminal, the guy that was dead was a locksmith,
mm-hmm.
and his wife, Patrick, suspected her of having more information. She said she didn't know how to do it. So he took her cat and shoved it in her safe
and then
locked the door. And right. then, of course, she rushed over and opened it, proving that she did know.
Yeah.
Boy, that could have gone bad real fast. Or really slow, actually.
What? Oh, if she didn't know how?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they could have called Paul. Give it enough time.
Yeah.
He can get any lock
so
open.
So, Paul, have you seen that episode?
Yeah.
You know that never happens on this show. Paula says, "Did you see this episode of F Troop where Don Rickles was playing a Native American?" And usually the guest says no.
Yeah.
Well, wherever there are safes involved, it tends to pique my interest. So.
Yeah, sure. So what did you do? Go through like the TV guide, and it said this week. This week the crime centers on a locksmith.
My phone alerts me.
Yeah.
Now, when were safes invented?
Early 1800s.
Wow.
The early safes didn't have...
So your company was kind of late to the game.
Ah, I know.
1915.
We were playing catch-up.
So the old, like in the movies when they show, like, you know, on the train, they always were blowing up a safe on a train.
Right.
So were those not good safes? Or were there ever safes on trains that made it without being breached?
Absolutely. They, in the early... late part of the 1800s, 1930s, they changed the doors on the safe from square to round. They found that if they put dynamite or explosives or nitroglycerin on the inside of the door, it blew the square door and safe off. So a lot of manufacturers went to a round door, which couldn't be blown off.
Why couldn't it be blown off?
Because of the shape of the door.
Okay. Wow. That's really interesting.
Yeah, I don't know why the shape of the door would change whether or not you could blow it off. Is it because when they were dropping it in on a flat surface because it was square? Where did they put the dynamite?
I think it also had to do with the thickness of the door. They made the doors a lot deeper.
Uh-huh.
Well, that has nothing to do with the shape.
No, but the round doors were deeper,
and
so you couldn't take dynamite to them. It didn't. The force of the explosion didn't open the door.
Was a lot of these criminals were very dumb, and so the instructions were always tape the dynamite to the corner of the door. Well, so once the round door, it took years, literally years before the, before the bandits figured that out.
It's funny you should say that. I have a video of three guys trying to break into one of our safes, and he's actually on the phone, on the internet, looking up how to break into the safe.
Oh, that's funny.
How did you get a video of three guys trying
security
to break
cams.
Into your safe?
Security cams.
Okay, so, but not like the safe at your job.
No,
not
it
like
was
at
a,
your at
it,
your store.
It was one of our clients.
One of your oh my gosh! I thought what a hapless criminal that goes to a safe store.
Exactly.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna get the cash right out of their safe.
Easiest thing in the world. We go to the safe store.
Guilty.
They got nothing but safes there.
Guilty from a baby. That's what it is.
After hours, I figure we could open like 19, 20, even 30 safes overnight.
Hey, Paul, how did you learn to be a locksmith?
I'm not a locksmith.
Oh.
But.
Well, then what does that T-shirt say I'm a locksmith for?
It actually says SoCal safe.
Oh, my mistake.
You have to be certified. Now, locksmithing wasn't something I was interested in. I've always been interested in selling. It's been my lifelong passion. I like to sell stuff.
Uh-huh.
And selling a safe is a very unique proposition. You have to find the right product for the client and make it work in his environment.
Uh-huh.
Not only make it work in his environment, but find a location within the residence or store or whatever where it's also safe.
Yeah, behind the painting.
I have...
Do you tell him?
Have you done some behind the painting?
Well, it's funny you should mention that. I have a client that just called us because he put his safe behind the painting.
Oh, wow.
Now, this is a picture of...
A safe behind a painting.
Right. So... Don't you think people might look there?
Yeah.
Wouldn't everybody look there? I mean,
first place people check is wall safes. This is a non-rated safe, and the core material on that safe is the same stuff that's on your wall. It's drywall.
Oh.
And that's very, very malleable. You can break drywall very easily.
Wait, the safe is made of drywall?
Yeah,
that's absurd.
If you see, and probably your safe is as well. But here's the way that you can know.
My safe is not made of drywall. That's ridiculous. You, what
inside,
was it?
He's talking about what's inside the metal.
Was it built by the first little pig?
So usually, usually inexpensive safes have drywall in them.
Uh-huh.
So if you paid less than $500, the core material on your safe is drywall. And you can determine that with a simple test. Knock on the top of the safe. And if it sounds a little bit hollow, 99% chance it's drywall.
Well, the other thing is, if you go... Roger Rabbit will come out of your safe.
Absolutely.
He
pops open.
He can't stop himself.
Yeah. Wow. All right. So Paul is showing me the various materials that the inside of the safes are made by. And apparently me, Goofus, has mine is made of drywall.
I'm not saying that, but I would say it's a good way to test.
Well, I think it's under $500. My safe's not.
I would say you're...
If I paid for a safe that was more than $500, I wouldn't have anything to put in it.
Except your money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, this is my point. Right. That was my money. I was trying to protect my $500. I had to use a cheap safe to do it.
So here's another common mistake.
Where's that $500? In the safe? No.
It's in the safe.
It's in the safe.
So here's another common mistake people make.
Yeah.
They don't bolt their safe down.
So people just walk away with it.
Exactly.
No, that safe is so fucking heavy. Yeah, it would take a couple of criminals to get that safe.
300 or 400 pound safes are not heavy. I would say to my clients, anything under 1,000 pounds, you bolt it down. Did you?
Because if it's 300 or 400 pounds, it's too heavy unless you have a hand truck. Which
well, who carried it in?
Yeah,
somebody carried it in, and if they carried it in, bad guys can carry it out.
Yeah, Wendell carried it in, but he's amazing.
Oh, he's big.
Right.
he's you know, when he's not knitting your Poundstone's pussy pillows.
Yeah.
He
sews them. He doesn't knit them. He sews them.
When he's not sewing them.
Yeah, yeah. He's carrying safes.
He's carrying safes around.
Yeah, apparently he's got a cat burglar job on the side. Wow. Yeah. All right, so I was supposed to bolt it down. Yeah, I didn't do that.
Yeah, that's the first thing. And then if you can, put it in a corner. A corner protects two sides of the safe. It also makes it much more difficult to remove from the location.
Why is that? Why does the corner make it more
because
difficult?
You don't have access on all sides. It's harder to pry it up, and the wall
is a surface
that you're going to use. And so if you're prying it up, the wall helps restrict that movement.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
that's
good advice on helping us keep the safe safe. When we come back, we're going to ask you how to steal a safe, okay?
Okay.
In Leaves of Grass, Walt Whitman wrote, "Unscrew the locks from the doors. Unscrew the doors themselves from the jams." That's one way to pick a lock. Take off the whole door. Stay tuned to discuss the safe cracking technique with Paul Gordon, right after this. The cat of the week is Leonardo DiCaprio from Madrid, Spain. And we're back with Paul Gordon from SoCal Safe here on Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone. Paul, this is all fascinating stuff. Let me ask you this. You design safes yourself, right?
We have occasion when clients will come to us, have a special need. They need somebody as a reverse drop. We want to add doors or take
What's
doors
a reverse
away.
Drop? What does that mean?
So in other words, normally a safe will drop from the front. So you drop the make your deposit in the front of the safe, drops down into an internal compartment.
I see.
On a reverse drop, it drops from the back of the safe.
Uh-huh.
So why would you want that? In this particular case, we designed a safe that had to go through the wall so the partitioners on the other side could make a drop, a contribution, and it dropped through the snorkel tube into the safe.
Petitioners?
Well, it was for the Catholic diocese.
So you designed a safe for the Catholic diocese?
I designed a safe for the Catholic Church here in Los Angeles.
That's fantastic. It's the Pope's piggy bank?
That's really fantastic.
How did they get in touch with you? Did you come? They come into your store, and were they wearing their robes at the time?
We've been around for a few years.
Yeah,
and we
since 1915.
Yeah,
where I've been there about that long.
Yeah.
So they'll come and they'll ask who to go to,
uh-huh.
because of our reputation. And by the way, there are a lot of great safe companies around.
Right,
we've been here for a long time. I think what sets us aside and why people ask for us specifically. Is the way we do business.
Yeah, which is what?
Every client is like our family. I pick up my phone on Saturday. I'll pick up, you know, at 2 in the evening.
Every client is like your family?
I tell you, you're driving them to their soccer games.
You're doing their laundry.
Fight all Thanksgiving.
Oh, my God.
See, you do understand.
Hey, speaking of family, and you can feel free to not answer this question. Have you ever designed a safe for a client where you started to feel like maybe you were designing a safe for a criminal?
You know, I have a pretty good sense of who we're working with
and
the payment method. So we work a lot with the cannabis business.
The cannabis business.
Yeah.
Yes, so, because they're not allowed to bank. Even though it's legal to sell it, they're still not allowed to have bank accounts that they deposit into.
So
is that true?
Yes.
Yeah. What do you mean they can't have bank accounts?
It's a huge problem. They
just have to spend it out.
They're
not allowed to save?
They have to put it under mattresses or put it in safes because although it is legal in many states now, it's still a federal crime.
Uh-huh.
And banking is federally controlled. Am I getting this right?
100%.
Wow. Okay. That just seems crazy because we're not really encouraging our cannabis salespeople to have thrift.
Yeah, or run a responsible business.
Yeah, exactly.
They have to take it upon themselves.
Yeah. And what about taxes and stuff like that?
And think
what about laundering money for the Russians?
Yeah.
And think about this. The cannabis industry, you can't store your product where you store your cash.
You can't store your product? What, because your cash will smell like pot?
Yeah.
Yeah, don't
will.
I know it?
Absolutely
Ask me about my catnip situation.
So you don't think you've ever designed for like a drug lord?
So you could say...
Does the name Built Bar ring a bell for you?
Slightly.
How about Pablo Escobar?
I'm not familiar with that one. But you could say we did, prior to the cannabis industry being legalized, we did sell, knowing that they were cannabis dealers.
Uh-huh.
And we taxed them just like anybody else, treated them like any other business.
Yeah.
It's nice.
I can't regulate what you do with your safe.
Yeah, it's not up to you. Hey, if there's a head in a safe, that's not your problem.
Right.
See, you get the business.
Yeah.
Nor are you going to get that out by drilling a little hole in the
safe. No, no one's going to get to that head. No,
absolutely
Certainly
not.
Certainly not its body.
Now, you said during the break that like people don't use dynamite to get into safes anymore.
Oh, well, first of all, it does kind of create a nuisance.
It makes a big noise.
Your neighbors will probably want
to there's construction going on next door to Paula.
Honestly, my neighbors every day with the jackhammer. The construction, not the neighbors themselves,
construction. It calls attention to you.
Yeah, right. Sure.
And there are
especially when you show up with Wile E. Coyote at your side.
Well,
people
I was
going to
ask,
if safes
are really heavy, if it fell on a coyote, would it accordionate the coyote or would it do more damage than that?
You know, I think it would more saucer him.
Saucer.
It would be like a frisbee.
See, I knew those cartoons were not accurate.
Oh, man. When I stay in hotels, there are safes like in the closet. And they say, you know, put your valuables in here. Is that just asking for trouble?
Wow. So we sell safes to hotels.
Uh-huh.
The kind of safe that you have in your hotel room is very easy to manipulate and open.
Really?
So, why is that?
Just the construction. I have a very simple way of telling you how good a product, a safe is. Knock on the top of it.
Yeah.
And you're going to...
And if someone knocks back...
don't open the door.
Yeah, can you get out from the inside?
That's a great question. The answer is no on traditional safes. Uh-huh. Houdini always put a key for the inside of his safe so he could get out of his safe.
Oh, Houdini used to put a key inside?
That's how
ruined shows for me.
Well, he's not going to be doing a lot of shows anymore. I got some bad news for you, Paula.
This is kind of heartbreaking. Yeah. Well, actually, because remember that book, Devil in the White City?
Yeah, I love that book.
Yeah, it's a really good book. Well, the serial killer in that book, unfortunately, one of his victims, he put her in a big safe, and she didn't get out. And there were actually footprints in the wall, and I think the wall was like metal inside the safe, was it not? Yeah. And I mean, like a really strong material, but she dented it trying.
Right.
Creepy.
Yeah, I was waiting for the punchline there. Yeah. There's none coming. There's none coming.
Yeah. I have a funny little locked in a safe story for you.
Didn't end well. Okay, so let's say Billy Ocean came to you and said, I want you on the team. We're going to go to the Mirage Casino Hotel, and we're going to break into the safe. Or the Bellagio. How would you go about doing it? How would you plan your part of it, Safecracker?
Well, you have to have someone that's an expert at breaking into safes, and you want to do it in a fashion that people can't find a way. In other words, they won't know that you've been there.
Right.
Okay.
So we recently had a client that someone had broken into their safe.
Uh-huh.
They drilled the holes and everything.
Wow.
Well, when we came back and we looked at the placement of the holes, they were in the wrong spot.
Huh. The wrong spot.
Right. So they went back and drilled the holes, but knew the combination, so they opened the safe. So in other words, the where you would drill to put your scope in was in the wrong place.
Uh-huh.
Oh, so they wanted to make it look like they didn't know the combination.
Right.
But you were able to figure out that they had to know the combination because the holes were in the wrong
place.
That's
correct. Tony actually figured that out.
That is clever as hell.
Wow, that was like The Mentalist.
So do you work with the police a lot?
That was good.
Like, do they open the safes for themselves after
he's on the CBI.
Often police departments will try to open the safe themselves.
Yeah.
Because it's fun, right? Not because they know how.
Of course.
No, because some of them are on the take. That's why.
Oh, right.
And if they destroy the safe, no big deal. We can always open it. Sure. So they always like to try their first hand at it.
Uh-huh.
But if they're concrete like this, they generally come to us first.
Yeah.
And we can open it. You know, again, with enough time, we can open just about any safe.
Yeah, you go one to the left, two to the right, one to the left.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Correct.
Two to the left, three to the right, two to the left.
Wow, it's like you're ready to go work for this company at this point.
Yeah, yeah. You're hired. It takes a lot of time, though. How many combinations of numbers would that be?
It'd be a lot, right?
Yeah, I believe that's the that's the mathematical answer.
A lot.
A lot.
A lot.
Wow. By the way, the safe you made for the Catholic Diocese, did it work?
Oh, of course.
Did it? What do you mean, of course?
Well, to this point.
Yeah.
What do you mean, of course?
I'm on my way to the Catholic Diocese tonight.
To see if you can crack that safe?
To try to crack that safe.
Now that you know so much about it.
And Paul, that's a great question. Everything we make gets triple checked. So before it goes, there are six eyes that look at it.
There's three eyes. That is creepy.
That's all on one person.
No, it's three pirates.
Yeah.
Right. Well, it looks good to me. How about you? Oh, yeah. I couldn't get in.
Three eyes and a parrot. Check out every one of those safes.
Well, thank you, Paul. I got a lot of valuable information out of that. And now we're going to take that information and run it through the old Pouncedonator. Paula?
House band Ryan Gabrinetti, if I could have some music. Nice. People don't use stethoscopes to crack safes, but you can use the stethoscope to tell if there's fluid in the safe's lungs. Then, it should pee in a cup just to see if it's a diabetic. Safes developed in the early 1800s, just about the time people started breaking into shoeboxes. A locksmith has to be certified and go through a thorough background check. Someone that couldn't qualify as a locksmith can still be president.
SoCalSafe has been providing the nation with the highest quality safes and security equipment since they first opened. way back in 1915. Paul Gordon is their strategic alliance manager. Thank you, Paul, for being on our show. That was fantastic.
It was fantastic. Thank you, Paul.
Coming up, this show is hot in the United Arab Emirates.
It's, Adam!
What?
Answer the phone!
What, really?
Man!
I'm doing a segue, Paula.
Man, this 100th caller contest is really taking off.
I really wish it would take off.
Answer the phone, Adam!
I don't hear it.
There it is! Answer the phone!
Oh, Jesus. Hello?
Hello? Hello? Am I the 100th caller?
Oh, no, you're not. I'm sorry.
I knew it. I knew it. I'm Cher Eva.
Cher Eva.
And I'm a psychic. I just see things. I knew it. I knew I wasn't the 100th
caller. It is a relief to have a new caller. What is she? Is Cher Eva 13 or 14? She's 14.
I knew it.
You knew
I
that.
Knew it. I was the 14th caller. I knew
well,
it.
Well, welcome to, I don't know how anybody's getting a number of a pre-recorded podcast, but we've decided to just put that aside.
I knew you were going to say that. You know, it's a burden.
Sharon?
I knew it.
Sharon?
I knew it. Yes.
Just saying I knew it after somebody says something doesn't make you a psychic.
I do a lot of pet psychic work.
I
also,
knew you'd say that because I too, am a psychic, Cher.
I knew it. A lot of times people's pets really want them to know something, and the pet just waits and hopes that Cher Eva, that's me, will be able to tell their caregivers what they want, but they can't say.
So you're a pet psychic?
Among
what?
I knew you were going to ask that. I knew it. I knew it.
Okay, good.
You have a dog, right?
I do.
See,
no,
knew
I
it.
Don't, because I talk about the dog on the show.
Yeah, I haven't heard the show.
Cher, how are you calling into a show that you've never even heard?
Cher Eva knew that. I knew it.
Okay.
And what's your dog's name?
See, I'm going to, if I say the name.
Your dog.
Yeah.
What's your dog's name?
If I say the name, Cher, you're just going to say that
Go
you
ahead,
knew
say
that.
Say it. Say it.
I'm asking you.
Do you say it?
I know you first.
It's better if
you say it, Cher. I really want you to tell me my dog's name.
Your dog's name?
Yes.
Okay.
No, what is not my dog's name?
You know what? Your dog is a Republican. And that's...
That's not true.
It is. Your dog has wanted to tell you that for okay. a while.
My dog Luna is a Republican.
Luna, yes!
Jesus Christ.
Yes. All right. I'm going to call back.
Well, why were you calling in the first place?
Because I want to get a piece of appliance from Roger Federer's.
Well,
I'd like to hang out with you after the game.
Well, neither of those things are going
to... Do you want to know who won the game?
What game?
The game!
Who won the game?
The other team.
Well, I'm disappointed on behalf of my team.
I knew it.
But Cher, before you go, I want to ask you a question.
I
need to ask you a question, Cher, before I hang up.
Cher Eva, yes.
If you want to win this contest,
yes.
Why didn't you just wait to be the 100th caller?
I knew you were going to say that.
Right.
I knew it.
Yeah, because it's a logical question. I'm not negative.
You're very negative.
I'm a little negative. People have said that before.
I knew you were going to say that. I knew you would reject the idea of your negativity when it was presented to you. But, yeah. All right, well, I'm going to call back.
I don't think you have to. Anyway, thanks so much, Cher Eva. Oh, boy. Okay.
It was nice talking with you.
It was nice talking with you.
I knew you would think so. I knew it. I knew it.
Oh, my God.
I knew it.
Coming up, as I said, this show is hot in the United Arab Emirates. Of course, everything is hot in the United Arab Emirates. But we'll take that as a good sign. That's coming up right after this. Fun fact, although the tongue is by far the strongest muscle in your body, get it a few feet away from your body and it really can't do much of anything. Oh, thank you, man. All right, we're back, Paula.
Yeah.
Guess what?
What?
You know, our show is ranked number 29 in the United Arab Emirates.
Wait a minute!
Yeah, thank you, Dubai!
29 with a rocket!
Where am I Dubai at?
That's fantastic.
Yeah, thanks.
It's a global reach. That's what Captain Crinkle says.
Absolutely.
A global reach.
I don't,
oh,
I
my
think
God.
She thinks the segment is called that or something.
I'm not going to be able to go to any country without 20 people flocking me.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to be careful in the UAE.
Yeah,
nowadays.
I'm going to have to make a big, you know, like a map. And, right. and cross off where I can't go anymore without wearing like a mustache, well, an additional mustache,
conceal your mustache behind an identical mustache.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. I gotta go. I gotta be.
What
on
do you
the
know
lam.
About the UAE, Paul?
Nothing.
Nothing.
No. Well, other than they love us.
They sure do. Number 29 in comedy podcasts. Of course, in the UAE, comedy podcasts are strictly forbidden. No, I kid.
These are people that sneak and
they're
get it.
Sneaking.
They sneak to the border.
Penalty
so
of death.
Technically,
they're
listening in their neighbor country.
Yeah. Let's find out. We've got our crackerjack producer Tony Anita Hull here to tell us the need to knows about the UAE. Welcome to Tony Anita Hull.
Thank you
for being here, Tony Anita Hull. You're so clever. She's a clever girl.
Thank you, Mrs. Culpepper.
We're so proud of her.
Yeah, we are, Mrs. Culpepper. It seems like you always come out when Tony appears.
Oh, I love Tony. Yeah. I love her like she was my granddaughter. I do.
Do you have a granddaughter?
I do not. I do not have a granddaughter.
How old, your daughter just never had kids.
I had no children.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, it's not too late. I'm sure you and the captain can still get busy. Valentine's Day is right in the corner.
The captain is no longer available for sex.
Oh, he's become impotent.
No, he's passed.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Oh, well, wait, bring the room down, Mrs. Culpepper.
Oh, it's a very sad thing. It's a very tragic incident.
I would like to hear no more about that. It's too sad.
It's very sad. He passed.
Please, no more details, please.
He's poisoned.
Really? Poisoned? Yeah, well, that's a horrifying way to go, Mrs. Culpepper.
Tyrotoxism, that is correct.
No, let's just leave that where it is. I don't need to know what that is.
I'm saying it's just to warn other people. The captain would have wanted it that way. Tyrotoxism, which is the poisoning by cheese or other dairy product.
Okay, well, that's good to know. Now, let's turn to the UAE.
It was a kind of a cheese. It was a particular kind of a cheese.
Honestly, Mrs. Culpepper, nobody needs to know this.
It was the goat of the god of Adam Palmer. Sorry to interrupt, Tony.
It's
no, you
okay.
Go ahead.
Tony, tell us a little bit about the UAE.
No, absolutely. I'm a big fan of you too, Mrs. Culpepper.
Well, thank you. And apparently the UAE would tear my ruby sateen dress off if they could.
Probably. So the UAE is a constitutional monarchy at the tip of the Arabian Peninsula, and it consists of 7 emirates.
Okay.
Where are emirates?
Emirates are provinces, states.
States.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that.
Semi-autonomous states.
Absolutely, like California.
Yeah. Like California.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right, except they're nothing at all like California,
no,
are they?
No, nothing at all like
you
California.
You want to name some emirates?
Yeah, absolutely. So,
hopefully in an amusing song that helps you remember it.
No. So Abu Dhabi. Abu Dhabi. Ajman.
This week's emirate is Abu Dhabi.
See, you do remember the song.
All right,
so there's Abu Dhabi. That sounds just like something Scooby-Doo would say.
That would be Rabu Rabi.
Ajman, Dubai, Fujairah, Ras Al Khaimah.
I had Fujairah once.
Yes, painful.
Oh, yeah.
You got to drink a lot of cranberry juice when you get that.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Sharjah.
Wow.
And Al-Quwain.
Al-Quwain.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Boy, they're gonna. You know how you look up a word, like a dictionary word on the computer sometimes, mm-hmm. and they'll have someone do the pronunciation for you.
Yeah.
You are gonna get that job for that last emirate.
Wow.
Yeah.
And give up working for Bonnie Burns?
No.
Never.
All right. So you know, I had no idea that it was. I didn't know that the 5 emirates.
They're not the United States. They're the United Emirates.
I get it. Never even occurred to me what that meant.
Good job.
The
very
UAE.
Good, Adam.
United Emirates. Okay.
I found this really interesting. Poppy seeds are a source of opium and are a banned substance in the UAE.
Are the laws repressive there?
Oh. Are they repressive?
Well, they won't allow poppy seeds.
Well, that doesn't mean poppy.
It's an ingredient in a muffin, for God's sakes. They won't allow. How are they with blueberries and bran? Are they as strict with blueberries and bran?
Don't even get her started on sesame seeds.
Doesn't seem right.
Yeah. It doesn't seem right.
Cranberry walnut. Oh, my God. Jeez. You get your head cut off.
No. No. But getting, if you have papa seeds, you can be thrown into jail.
Wow.
And also, a lot of people have been prosecuted and jailed in Dubai for public displays of affection.
PDAs.
PDAs.
In the UAE.
Oh, that's what it's called? PDAs? Public displays of affection?
Mm-hmm. Only in the last...
Like what kind of displays of affection? Like a little peck on the cheek, that kind of thing?
Yep, that can
definitely. Whoa, you do time for that.
You would do
Doesn't that kind of cut into the whole honeymoon tourism business in Dubai?
Yeah, definitely. And also—
Wait a minute. Yeah, it's like a big destination.
Dubai is a big destination. Are tourists allowed to snuggle on the beach or no?
No, absolutely not. That could get you thrown into jail. And women can't be alone with other men who aren't their husbands. So they have female cab drivers who, if you're a female and you want to ride somewhere, you have to get in with a female cab driver.
Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm.
I don't see how we're a popular podcast there.
Oh. Well, it must be. We must be, like, underground there or something. You know what I mean?
They're dabbling like, us in secret in their cabs.
While they hide behind a shrub at the beach and make out. and ride around with a woman rides around with a male cab driver and listens to our podcast.
Probably with her earbuds in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Earbuds are probably illegal.
What else? Do you have a little piece of culture for us? Like maybe a song or something?
Oh, I do. I brought the national anthem with me.
Oh, boy. That's a big
okay,
deal.
Great.
Let's play the national anthem. It's called Ishi Baladi.
Oh, Ishi Baladi.
Baladi.
Ishi
Baladi.
I took Baladi. Ishi Baladi. Now, what are they saying here, Tony?
Long live my country, the unity of our emirates lives.
There's five of them.
Seven.
My mistake.
You have lived for a nation whose religion is Islam and guide is the Quran.
Wow. A lot of separation of church and state right there.
No.
That's the second line of the anthem.
Yeah. No. They're cleaved.
The last lines are, we all sacrifice for you and give you our blood. We sacrifice for you with our souls, O homeland.
Wow. There in the middle it says, we work sincerely. And I think that...
Let's turn this down a little bit.
The fourth to last line is, we never make out on the beach.
No, it isn't.
and women are not alone with men who are not our husbands. That is beautiful.
Right.
Wow. That is a repressive... state.
Yeah, but it's it's not the most repressive.
No,
it's not.
That's not Saudi Arabia or anything, right? No. Or Afghanistan.
No, they're very rich though. A lot of oil.
Yeah, let's
money
talk about
there.
A lot of oil. Yeah, like Dubai is one of the richest.
The devil's excrement
places in the world, right?
They the UAE holds some of about $1 trillion in assets and reserves. Through because of its oil, through its two major sovereign wealth funds, the Abu Dhabi Investment Authority and the Mubadalah.
Okay, so this is where they're keeping their money.
Yeah.
And they're not spending it on poppy seeds.
No. I wonder if there's a relationship between being really, really rich and, like, not being, you know, having no sexual desires.
Oh, I don't think they have no sexual desires. I think they're just repressive of those desires.
Yeah. Well, I guess I was kind of hopeful because, you know, I have no sexual desires and...
Oh, so
I was hoping that it would make me really, really rich.
Oh.
There you go.
I'll move there if I have to.
80% of the population are expatriates.
80% mm-hmm. of the population, meaning what is it?
They're not from the country.
They used to play for the team, but they don't now?
Yep, absolutely.
No, what do you mean? So 80% of the people aren't from there? They moved there?
It's like L.A.
Yes.
Why would anyone move there? You can't make out of the beach.
You don't even like making out anywhere.
No, but
that's exactly why you would move there.
No, but I couldn't take the I couldn't take the heat or the tall buildings. The
tallest building in the world is there, isn't it, Tony Anita Holm?
Yeah, the Burj Khalifa is there.
Oh, the word burqa is in the name of their tall building.
And Burj.
Oh, it's Burj Khalifa. Yeah.
Burj Khalifa. It's two different words.
Like Burj Khalifa, but change Wiz to Burj.
Oh.
I don't think you really got her with Wiz Khalifa there. But that was a noble attempt.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for breaking it down for me, Tony Alita Hall. Thank you. Thank you. Wiz Khalifa. Oh, thank you. I'm clear on that now. Thank you.
You're welcome. And they also have the largest mall in the world by total area.
Wow. Now, yeah. Is their malls closing up the way our malls are closing up? I mean, is their Forever 21 shutting down? Are they losing Hello Kitty?
It's good. These are good questions. Tony Anita Hall is not answering.
Yeah, Tony.
She's stonewalling that
Tony's.
One.
Yeah.
Wow, Tony.
Apparently,
she's in the back pocket of Dubai.
Tony, I want to thank you for wearing the traditional Greek peplos tonight. But what are traditional Arab emirates? For a woman, is it like just head to toe covered in cloth?
Covered? Probably is my best guess. Yeah.
Okay, so now we've actually exceeded your Wikipedia research at this point.
You have stumped me with that question.
That's so great. That's great that we have expert Tony Anita Hall
here. How do they dress?
Beats me.
Come on and guess about the culture of the United Arab Emirates.
Tony, if you had a best guess as to what they eat there, what would it be?
That's also an excellent question. I'm sure they have a Starbucks.
thank you, Tony. She believes they have a Starbucks in Alabama.
That's very helpful. Well, Tony, thanks for coming by and giving us that.
About how many stew sticks do you think they go through in a day, Tony Anita Hall?
She won't be able to answer, Mrs. Culpepper. Oh. All right, UAE, whatever you're doing there, thanks for tuning in. If you want to reach out to us from anywhere around the world, email us at nobodylistenstopaulapoundstone@gmail.com. And speaking of hotel soap, Paula, you're going to be on the road. Where are you going to be performing?
I hate promoting myself. It's the one part of my job that I really loathe is the self-promotion.
Well, please, just this once.
I'll be in Northampton, Massachusetts on March 14th at the John M. Green Hall at Smith College. And I'll be in Wilmington, Delaware on March 6th at the Grand Opera House. That's Grand Opera House. And you know how much I hate self-promotion, but my manager, Bonnie Burns, says I should also plug my Butterfinger song. You can find Not My Butterfinger on iTunes.
Wait, Bonnie, you don't...
And
oh,
the ringtone.
My God.
Thank you, Captain Kringle.
That was absolutely worth interrupting us for,
you
Bonnie.
You can also
the
get
ringtone.
The ringtone.
Yeah, how many of those have we sold so far? Good thing we're reminding the listeners on
Apparently
that one.
Apparently they're flying off the shelf
Tony
at the United
one.
Arab Emirates.
The virtual shelves. You know what? Also, at these gigs, Paula, people can buy your Poundstone's pussy pillows.
They can. You know, my assistant, Wendell, actually makes them.
Because you got gifted with this 35-pound bag of catnip from Doug Berman, executive producer.
I received a box full of 35 pounds of catnip.
And life gave you catnip, and you're making catnip toys.
That is exactly right. They are, I don't know, maybe 3x4-inch pillows with a cat joke on one side and on the empty side. And by the way, they have a grommet, so you can tie a string around it and tug it. And on the other side, the blank side, I'm happy to autograph it to your cat. They're available at my shows and soon...
Now, by the time listeners are hearing this, they'll be available on...
My website.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, we understand. I was listening to one of our old episodes the other day, and it was from last year, 2019, and we promised that the website would be up by January 14th.
Yeah.
We kind of missed that deadline, but by the time you're hearing this, PaulaPoundstone.com is up, and you can buy Poundstone's pussy pillows there.
It's not possible that it wouldn't be up
by then.
It
would be inconceivable.
Yeah.
It would have to be some major cock-up on somebody's part. Now, now, Paula, there is a grommet on these pillows, right?
Yes, there is.
Yes.
Yeah, so that you can tie a string to it and pull it around and further intrigue your cat.
But you don't include the string.
I don't include the string.
Which is why I warned you that somebody might undercut you just by including the string. And
I don't see that happening.
As I announced last week, I'm getting into this business a little bit.
Oh, are you? No,
yes,
you're making...
Yes, and you know, also, I find the name Poundstone's Pussy Pillows a little offensive.
Uh-huh.
So I am announcing...
It means kitty.
Yeah, well, whatever. I'm announcing Felber's Feline Fun Bags.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, which basically what happens is I buy a Poundstone pussy pillow.
Uh-huh.
I tie a string to it, and I sell it for a tiny markup. So if you're not liking the Paula Poundstone's pussy pillows because you feel like she's cheaping out on you for the string, you might want to look into getting the Felber's Feline Fun Bags. Sold on my website, adamfelber.com, which will be available the moment that paulapoundstone.com goes live.
Adam, answer the phone.
I don't want to.
Adam, answer the phone.
I'm very busy, Paula.
Yeah, Adam, answer the phone.
Hello.
Adam, it's me, Winnie Rose Feynman. Am I the 100th caller?
You're not, Winnie. You're number 15.
I I have to. I have to win the 100th collar contest.
Hey, Winnie, let me ask you a
question. I want to hang out with you after the game. Well, it's so important to me.
Okay.
If I don't win, Adam, I'm going to spin around until I get really dizzy and die.
Well, Winnie, number one, you wouldn't die. And number two, don't
I
do
will.
That.
I'll die.
Winnie.
I will. I just want to spend time with you, Adam. It's so important to me.
Winnie,
know,
I can't.
I really love you. And what are you doing for Valentine's?
What I did for Valentine's. Winnie, I worry that you're the caller who just called up and sobbed earlier in the show.
I don't think so.
That wasn't you? Because, like, earlier in the show, when I was talking about how I was going to have a great Valentine's Day with my wife, and
then
Paula asked me, is there going to be lovemaking that night? And I was like, well, of course, Winnie. Of course, Paula, there's going to be lovemaking. My wife and I love each other very much, and having sex is very much part of our life.
I gave you my mother's crock pot, Adam.
I didn't accept your mother's crock pot, Winnie.
My mother's so mad at me.
You should take the crock pot back.
We haven't had a stew in weeks.
Well, Winnie, that's not my fault.
I don't even know where you sent it. Starving myself for you, Adam. I'm starving myself, and I'm spinning around. Right now, I'm spinning.
Winnie,
around.
Stop spinning. Winnie.
I'm spinning. Winnie. Adam, Adam, I love you so much. I'm going to have to go now, Adam. I need to get myself together.
I think you probably do, Winnie. Take care.
Bye, Adam.
All right. We're going to be back right after this. According to climate scientists, we have 9 years and 47 weeks until the Earth begins to become uninhabitable. Sweet. Welcome back, all you nobodies. Hey, Paula.
Adam Felber is a French Trump.
Oh, look at that.
John Bolton. I do not know him.
You don't know John Bolton?
I do not know John Bolton. He worked around the White House for a little while. He was no one. He'd got me coffee.
John Bolton was your national security advisor.
For maybe a minute, I never liked him.
Oh, no, he was there for quite a while, and you spoke very highly of him right up until the moment where you fired him.
No. I never liked him, and I always tell the truth, Adam Felber.
You do?
No, I never liked John Bolton. He's selling a book. That's what he's doing, is he's selling a book. He knows nothing of French Trump.
Really?
And guess what? Anyways, John Bolton... Netanyahu and moi have solved the Middle East problem.
Wait, what?
Yes, we have solved. Netanyahu.
Wait, say it again.
Bibi, Netanyahu.
Bibi, Net, and not you.
Wait, we have solved the Middle East problem.
And what's the solution here?
We move the whole Middle East to the Northeast. It is now beside Alaska. We fixed it, Bibi. Not you, John Bolton.
Wow. Well, French Trump, I'm glad that I understand that you have had this peace proposal, but I haven't seen
peace. It's a peace proposal. My proposal is we move. Me and Bibi Net and Nut, you came up with the idea. It was mostly me.
You actually mean Bibi Netanyahu and not you, is what you're trying to say.
No. Bibi Net and Nut, you, Jumbleton. You evil, satanic,
such a
walrus of a man who was never my national security advisor.
No, he definitely was.
No, he never was.
Moments ago, he never spoke
to me. I never listened to John Bolton.
There's tons of video of you guys talking.
No. Sometimes he came in the Oval Affairs, but I hid under my desk. I did not talk to him.
Really?
Yeah, oui. That's right. I never knew him. He was only there for a few minutes.
No, he was there for a long time. He was your national security advisor. I don't remember how many months, but it was quite a while.
No, it was a very brief time. I checked my calendar. There it is. He was hardly there.
No, he was there for a while, and he left in September of 2019, didn't he? Until very recently.
Yeah, but he did not start very long ago. That's the thing. It doesn't matter when he ended. He did not start very long ago. He was only there in the blink of an eye. John Bolton was gone.
I don't think that's
blink,
the case.
Blinka, blinka, blinka. Adam felt bad.
You're the only thing, French Trump, that could make me miss our callers is you, sir.
Oh, I love talking to you too, Adam Felper.
Well, French Trump, everybody. Thanks for dropping by, and good luck with that Jean Boltan dilemma.
Adam, answer the phone!
What?
Answer the phone, my God! The 100th caller contest is just taking off!
I'm just having the worst night. Hello?
Adam?
Yes?
Am I the 100th caller?
No, Winnie, you were the 15th caller. And now, congratulations, you're the 16th caller.
I'm the 16th caller. I'm going to get there. As God is my witness, I'm going to get there.
Winnie, I've got some bad news for you.
I have to tell you something, Adam. I made a heart with Junior Mints for you. But when I went to put them into the envelope to mail them to you, they fell off the paper because I didn't glue them down because I didn't want to poison you because that's not the kind of love I have for you.
Well, I'm glad that the kind of love you have for me is not the poisoning kind.
I would never want to poison you, Adam Felber.
Although I have,
so
to be
much.
Honest, feared that it could turn that way at a drop of a dime. drop
no,
of a hat, really.
No, don't even say that, Adam Felber. I love you so much. I would never poison you. If I send you the Junior Mints and a piece of paper with the shape of the heart on it, can you put the mints on the heart for me?
No. Not going to do that. And I don't want you to send them to me. Winnie, I feel like your affection for me, particularly this, as we approach Valentine's Day, is a little bit inappropriate.
You said it again! Don't say Valentine's Day!
Why not?
Adam, I love you so much. I just want to send you a piece of paper with a heart shape and some Junior Mints. Can't I do that?
No. You know why? Because my wife wouldn't like it. That's why, Winnie. My wife would not like it if some listener who loves me sent me Junior Mints and a diagram of how to place them in a heart. Because that would make her uncomfortable. And it would make me uncomfortable, Winnie. So I'm not going to accept it.
I have to tell you something.
Okay.
I saw your wife with Tom Hanks at a hardware store.
What?
I did. I saw them at a hardware store. It was your
that
wife.
That hussy.
It was your wife. And
that
Tom,
harlot.
Tom Hanks, and he was wearing an Argyle sweater vest.
Just like me.
Yeah. I think there's some sick thing that he has about you and your wife. Winnie. Our love is not like that.
Winnie, you made that up, didn't you?
I didn't.
You
I
didn't.
Saw your wife. She's like tall. And she was with Tom
Hanks.
She's
not particularly tall. Winnie.
And he was
it wasn't
a sweater vest. It was a cardigan sweater. He was rehearsing for his movie.
What? For the Mr. Rogers movie.
It's a Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood.
My wife was nowhere near that movie.
Your wife was nowhere near that movie? What kind of a thing is that to say?
She wasn't on the movie.
I didn't say she was on the movie. I said he was rehearsing. He rehearses all the time, even when he goes out with that hussy.
Even when he goes out, what?
With that hussy, I have to go, Adam.
Did you just call my wife a hussy?
I have to go right now, Adam.
You sure do, Winnie. You don't call my wife that.
I'll talk to you later, Adam. I love you so much. Thank you for using the code word.
Code word? Winnie? You still there? Oh, Jesus Christ.
Adam, I have a cute little cat story for you.
Do you?
I do.
Okay.
I have a large metal file cabinet in my living room. And my cat, Luigi, has peed a hole all the way through the front drawer.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's disgusting.
He's fine now. I just pet him tonight. He's good.
But he peed a hole through it.
Yeah.
And that's...
I don't think it was just once. I think it was repeated peeing on a file cabinet.
I don't find your cute little cat stories cute. Yeah, once would be a problem.
Yeah. I should have mentioned that to the safe guy.
Yeah,
yeah,
because maybe Luigi could be like
Luigi,
the best slow burn cat burglar in the world. Slow burn is exactly what we'd want to call it. Paul, I'm a little disturbed by what's going on with Winnie Feynman.
Yeah, she loves you, Adam.
Yeah, but she's starting to insult my wife.
Answer the phone, Adam. Answer the phone.
No.
Adam, answer the phone.
Paula, can you get this one?
No, I don't.
And if it's Winnie, tell her I'm not here.
No, I don't think it is Winnie.
All right. Hello.
Hi, Adam. It's
me. It's Mac Lap here.
Oh, Mac and Cheese.
Am I the 100th call? Yeah, my friends call me Mac and Cheese, and it doesn't bother me.
Why do your friends call you Mac and Cheese?
Because I'm from Wisconsin.
And where do you live?
I live in Wisconsin.
So why would your friends call you Mac and Cheese? They all live in Wisconsin, too.
Yeah, they're all a bunch of cheeseheads. They you know, we all... You know, we engage in badinage, Adam.
Okay. All right.
About cheese. You know...
Well, thanks for calling, Mac.
Yeah,
I think you're caller number 17.
Am I the 100th caller?
No, you're number 17, Mac.
Number 17.
Yeah.
Oh, darn
I wish
it.
You were 100.
Darn it, Adam. Darn it.
Yeah.
You know, like Jesus said, if you spend your Kennedy half on a comic book, your Kennedy half is gone.
Mac, Jesus never said that.
It's in the New Testament. Maybe you didn't read the New Testament. Do you walk with the Lord, Adam?
I don't walk with the Lord, but I have read the New Testament a couple of times.
Have you? Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah, Jesus didn't... Jesus predates
Are
Kennedy.
Are you careful with your Bible?
I don't... It's on a shelf?
Yeah. Well, it may be that someone tore a page or two out, because Jesus did say that.
Really, Mac?
It's in the New Testament. You know,
Which
I
book?
Go to church quite, I go to church quite often. I sing in the cheese choir.
The what, Mac?
The cheese choir.
The cheese choir.
I sing in the cheese choir. Love it, love it. We're doing
What's
right now.
What's a cheese choir, Mac?
Cheese choir. It's Wisconsinites that are believers, and we sing.
And you call it the cheese choir because...
We raise our voices in song for the...
Sure, for the Lord.
So we walk with the Lord.
You walk with the Lord.
We're doing a reprisal
so
of
you,
our
you
hit,
cook
Thank
stir
You, fries. Jesus, for the cheeses. It's quite popular.
Thank Jesus for the cheeses.
Yeah. You can't keep the flock away when we sing that. The flock shows up at the church.
Gee, Mac, I'd love to hear you sing some of that right now.
Well, I gotta go, Adam.
Okay.
All
right. Well, Mac and Cheese did not want to sing for us, Paula. That's kind of interesting, wouldn't you say?
Adam, answer the phone.
Really?
Yeah.
I really have to get home. Hello?
Adam,
hello? Am I the 100th caller?
You're not.
I knew it. I knew it. See? I knew it. It's a burden.
You're caller number 18, I believe. That's a lot that we've had tonight.
I knew it. I knew it.
Oh, you're Cher
it.
Ellis
I knew you
or something.
Say that. I knew. Cher Eva. I'm
Cher,
Cher
Eva.
Eva.
Yeah.
Yeah. I knew it. I knew you were going to say that. I knew it.
Okay. Well, thanks for calling.
I'm going to call back, but of course, I knew that.
Somehow I did too. All right, nobodies. Remember, our email address again is nobodylistenstopaulapoundstone@gmail.com.
Woo. And you can find me and Adam on Instagram, Facebook,
You're
and
sweating,
Twitter. And you can find my remarkably soft tri-poly blend t-shirt with a self-portrait on the left breast and a memorable quote on the back at paulapoundstone.com. I am exhausted.
Yeah.
The 100th color contest has taken off in a way I never thought it would.
I have to say, Paula.
People are so excited about hanging out with you after the game.
Yeah, I got to say, though, I mean this in the most polite possible way.
Yeah.
Is like, you kind of abandoned me tonight.
It's
like you kind of sat back and did fucking nothing. And I had to handle the callers and all the puppets. It was just, I'm a little hurt because, like, you know, you didn't take a call. I had to handle Winnie Feynman and
Oh, you know
Cher
what, Adam?
What?
Answer the phone. Answer the phone, Adam. Answer the phone.
I know exactly where this is going for.
Answer the phone.
God damn it. Hello?
Hey, Adam, it's me, Mike Bonifay.
How did I see that coming, Mike?
Am I the 100th caller?
You're not. You're number 19.
Boy, you are totally right. You did all the work tonight. That bitch did.
Hey, Mike.
You did all the work, man. You're goddamn. You're like an octopus or something. You got so many. You answer the phone calls and you're talking to the people on the show. That weird lady with the ruby sateen dress.
Now, Mrs. Culpepper, and she's a friend of mine too, in a way, Mike. More than you are.
Thank you, Adam. You are unbelievable, man. You just do so much.
I know.
It's no wonder when we hang out, you're kind of really laid back. You know, you chug a couple of brewskis and look at chicks with me.
I don't drink beer, nor have I ever hung out with you, Mike.
Listen, I gotta go, Adam. I gotta go. But I just wanted you to know, you were totally right. You did all the work. Like, you're just lazy. You know one of the things I noticed when I talked to you?
What do you notice, Mike?
Sometimes I lied.
Yeah, you do, Mike.
Yeah,
you do.
A little bit. I lied.
You create illusions.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
Oh, no. My head's fine. Thanks. All right. See you, Adam. Good talking to you, man. Yeah, you know. Just make that bitch do some work.
All right, remember everybody, did we mention Instagram and Facebook yet? I can't remember.
Yeah, I mentioned it. Instagram and Facebook. That's you and me. You can find me and Adam on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter.
All right, let's move on then.
And smoke signals. You can find us on smoke signals. And,
that's right.
And those people up in the Alps that blow a horn from one mountain to the other. You can write us postcards. You can have shit delivered to us, and we'll deliver shit to you. There's no way you can avoid me and Adam Felber.
I feel like I need somebody to pop up from the underbrush with a blow dart to bring you down tonight. All right, that's our show. Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone. It's hosted by Paula Poundstone and yours truly, Adam Felber. Produced by Paula Poundstone, Adam Felber, Bonnie Burns, Don't Blow That Thing, Ken Lezebnik, and Tony Anita Hall. Technical direction by Ray Horseman and mixing by Michael Hoagie. Special thanks to tonight's house band, Ryan Gabrinetti. Thanks to our guest, Paul Gordon. Security muscles provided by Tyler, the Studio City Perk. Transcription services for the show provided by Transcribe Me. For your special Paula Poundstone discount, use code Paula Poundstone when placing your order at transcribeme.com. Just do your last bit.
That's our show for tonight. Won't somebody please listen to me?
Oh. Well, try to pitch in next week, will you, Paula?
Yeah. I don't know. Sorry, I just wasn't all there tonight.
It's all right.
Just resting up from the weekend. Watch the games.
You want to hang out after the game this week?
I can't. I can't call 100 times.
Starburns Audio. A podcast network.
Life's better with American Family Insurance because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.